Hello, gamers, and welcome. This is All Systems Go. Thank you again for joining us this week. I think we took about, like a week hiatus or something like that between recordings.
Some football game was going on.
Something happened, yeah. The Superb Owl, I think it's
something
called.
Super.
A yes. Sporting match!
A sporting event was sported, and there was much sport to be sported. So, yeah, I'm a big sports fan, so I was like, yeah, Super Bowl, you know, kind of thing. So that's on me. So, on me, meaning Graduated Gamer. My name is actually Tim, but you might know me better as Graduated Gamer. You can find me on Twitter at @graduated_gamer. With me, as always, are my three fantastic co-hosts. We've got Reen. Go ahead, Reen. What's up?
Hey, Reen here. You can follow me on Twitter at @ReenAVA. Simple enough. It's short. Something.
Short and sweet. Easy.
Short and sweet. That's short me. Sweet.
There you go. I don't know how short you are, but
like 5'5".
That's average, right? Isn't it? That's about average.
I guess it'd be roughly. Average, yeah.
I mean, I'm almost 6'4", so everyone's kind of short to me. So I'll say short and sweet, just like Reen. No problem.
Okay.
And also with her is Lessa. Hey, Les.
Hey, yes, Lessa here, and I think I'm 5'6", so I think I have an inch on you, Reen.
You have an inch on me. I think I'm shorter than probably Joel, because Joel's probably like 6-something.
I am 6'2"-ish, there you go. So yes.
Well,
okay, yeah, so
very small.
5'6", Lessa over here, also known as At a Talented Friend on the Twit.
Yes, on the Twit. Not as short, but definitely sweet.
I like how we're all giving our heights like a starting line.
I know, right? So, yes.
Now, coming in at 6'2",
is Joel.
Joel Zizlak.
What's up, Joel?
Hey, guys. What's up? It's good to be recording again. And, let's talk some games.
Some games. Nintendo, Smash, Mario, and other things that Joel doesn't care about.
Yeah. Sounds about right, yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, there you go. There are that's our panel, our crew, if you will. We're really happy that you guys are listening to us in your ear holes this time around. We'll try really hard to not take hiatuses, but no promises with Superb Owls and World Series and Stanley's Cups and other sorted things. But we're gonna start things off like we do every podcast with a little segment we like to call "What's in Your System" to find out what everyone has been playing since we last talked. I'm going to go ahead and start with my buddy Joel. Joel, what's in your system?
Yeah, I've been playing, running the original Mario Bros. Some more. Still haven't really gotten a good time on that, but it's been fun. The World 8 stages are very difficult. And been playing plenty of FIFA and failing at that. Though I have qualified for 2 World Cups now. But I have not advanced out of the group stage at the actual World Cup, so that was my next goal.
Bummer.
In that game on legendary difficulty. Which
how far have you gotten in with what country?
With China, I qualified, and then I almost got to the round of 16. I got third place with 4 points, so it was a win-loss tie. And then I got back with South Korea,
okay.
And I just lost all 3 games.
So you're really good with the Asian countries.
Yeah, because it's easier to qualify because they get 4 spots guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
And if you get a good Asian team, then the rest of your competition when you're qualifying is pretty weak.
So I'm guessing that Japan, South Korea would be good Asian teams.
Yeah. I got in with
the
South Korea,
Republic
China.
Good too?
Yeah, they're okay.
Okay.
So yeah, once I get Japan, maybe I'll get back.
There you go. We'll give it a shot. Let us know. One day you're going to come in feeling like on top of the world, like, I qualified.
Yeah, I'm
going to
make myself a Styrofoam World Cup statue.
Hopefully at the next World Cup we can at least say that you've won the World Cup in the Brazil
it's
edition.
Much easier to go to the actual World Cup.
Yeah, apparently.
Than
yeah, because Joel did go.
Go in the video game. Yeah.
Had a good time. He made it back alive from Brazil, which, success. So, great. All right. Well, Lessa, how about you go ahead and tell us what's in your system this week?
Okay, well, this weekend, nothing, but last weekend, I finally beat Murder Soul Suspect, like, twice, because I rushed it the first time I played it, and then I missed, like, 7 collectibles during the play, meaning I couldn't move on as the Platinum Trophy title said, and I was like, oh, and that irked me so freaking much, and so I sat on the couch all open-mouthed and looking at Reen, and she was looking back at me, and she's like, I told you so, after you entered the last level, you couldn't go back, didn't you read that? And I was like, no, I didn't, and then so I played it again, and then I was, like, almost liberated to snag me that plat for the second time around.
Well, there you go. First world trophy whore gamer problems, it seems.
But, I mean, like, for the ending of the game, it was actually pretty good. It had this twist. I mean, I won't say anything just in case you decide to play it, but like, I think, like I mentioned,
Alyssa, you see a twist. You and I, in the beginning of the game, we're like, oh shit, that's going down. And then we're like, no, we just brush it under the rug. And then like, at the end, we're like, well, fuck, that was like in the beginning. It was brilliant. We're brilliant.
Well, you give us too much credit. But, I mean, last podcast, I think I mentioned that it had its humor, but as for multiple playthroughs, I think one's enough.
Okay.
But then also for the iPhone, I'm addicted to this one little game called
God Dial Damn It, I hate that fucking game. Okay, she was addicted like crazy, and I'm like, you better not be on that on your phone, and she's all like, and I'm like, don't even answer.
Wait, what game is it? I missed it.
It's called Battle Camp.
Oh, I never heard of it. Mostly because I don't really mobile game.
Oh, it's kind of like Pokemon in the sense that you have to earn badges to progress to different towns, and then you have a pack of monsters as your means to battle other creatures and whatnot. And it's funny because at first I didn't like it because on my phone it runs slow as hell since I only have like a 3G or maybe just a 3. I think it's a 3.
I think it's a 3G. I'm pretty sure it's 3.
I don't know if there's such a thing as 3.
Just the 3.
Yeah, just the 3. they didn't give me the G. I didn't opt for the G in my phone plan, so
how
I just got 3.
How fast is your phone?
Yeah.
3.
Okay, well, I haven't turned my iPhone over to look at the little silver tag in a while. But, I mean, and then the second problem was that it was connected to Facebook, always asking me to connect friends even though I don't even have Facebook. But then after winning a little monster during this one free spin I got, it was I won a little Beat Pete Birdlight critter with the preset named Daryl, and I was like, oh, that's it. Hells yeah, I'm keeping you. So.
All right. So we just found out that Lessa has a bit of a mobile gaming addiction. So we'll be sure to stage an intervention during one of these podcasts. We'll just we'll wait until Reen gets to the breaking point and just starts losing her shit on Lessa. We'll call that intervention. Soon. All right. Well, Lessa, what have you been doing? What's in your system?
You mean Reen?
Sorry, Reen. I know you just we did Lessa.
Pick on a short person. Why
I got
don't
Joel's
you?
Name dyslexia, don't I?
Well, while Lessa was playing Murdered Soul Suspect, I went back to get some trophies for Resident Evil Remake, and I was trying to go for the trophy, beat the game under 3 hours to unlock the grenade launcher, which is one of the secret weapons, because I need 2 more weapons to get the trophy that I unlock all the weapons. Mm-hmm. So Lessa, after she after Lessa beat Murdered Soul Suspect, she came to my room and sat on my bed and then watched me beat the rest of Resident Evil Remake, and we were making a joke saying, oh, it's going to be like, what, 3 hours and 30 minutes, and I'm going to be like 30 minutes over, and then I beat the game, and I was 3 hours and 31 minutes, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I didn't get that trophy, but I got the beat it under 5 hour trophy.
That's
which
good.
Was okay, and I was like, alright, I'll take that one, but next time I'll play Jill because she has so six-pocket Chris can't hold his shit, and it just made me so angry. But other than that, I played a little bit of Dying Light when it came out.
Yeah, how is it?
Yeah, like, it reminds me of Dead Island, which is interesting. And then Roger Craig Smith, who did the voice of Chris Redfield for Resident Evil 5 and 6, and like a couple other Resident Evil games, it made me melt when he started talking. I'm like, oh, Kyle Crane, I'm fangirling over you. And then every time he speaks, I'm like, oh my god, it's like a young Chris Redfield. And I was like, fangirling, and I'm fangirling now. But it was really interesting. Like I said, though, Dead Island type. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I was like, it's interesting. I killed a zombie and I got a trophy, and I was like, yeah! It made me so happy.
Nice. I saw an interesting story. I didn't read the whole deal on it, but I guess some people have been attempting to beat the game without using any weapons, like using just fists, and mm-hmm. it seems like that'd be kind of a task, so...
Ooh,
and it's also... Fun. Yeah, and there was also like a little Easter egg in that game where it's like a Super Mario Brothers... like level where it's you run down this corridor and it has like pipes and clouds and blocks and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And there was also supposed to be a Destiny Easter egg, also like the cave where people would level
right.
up or something.
The loot cave, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But you don't level up, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I want to try what you sent me, that article, to make money, I guess. Whatever it was, like get rich.
Oh yeah, there was an exploit. They may have already patched it. That was a little while ago. They tend to patch those things pretty quick.
It was only last week. Don't jinx it. Knock on wood.
The Destiny exploit was patched in like 3 days, I think, when they found out about it. So.
Oh well.
But, yeah, you got when you see those things, you gotta jump on them right away. Otherwise.
I know, but I was in class and I looked at it. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Then I got home and I was so tired. I went to sleep and I just never put the game back in. And now I hope it's still there. Please be there. Please be there.
See?
And then Lessa and I actually put a little bit of Outlast on the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Nice.
So we got to where we stopped off on the PC, and I just kind of let it sit there, and I don't. Like, I haven't picked it back up, but
we were so happy because on our computer it had that glitch, and so it always crashed before we got the cutscene. So when we saw on the PS4, we were like, oh, do the wave!
Yeah, it really ticks me off, though, because I don't know, for some reason, I think I, what's the right word? When you can, I can't think. Unless I'm looking right at you, you're supposed to know what I'm thinking. You're my twin. Come on.
I don't.
When you something controls, customize. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, dictionary in the brain. Okay, yeah. When I customize the controls on my computer for my the PC version of Outlast, I swear I did something different. But now for PlayStation 4, it only has three different control schemes. So I always waste my batteries because I'm trying to open a door, and that just irks me to no extent. But other than that. That's what's in my system.
Okay.
Anger and games.
Bingo, and horrifying horror, which is, excuse me, Dying
yeah.
Light and all that stuff. Yeah, those are all games I won't be playing, so no worries about spoiling things for me.
Yeah, so what's in your system, Tim?
Well, I did finish up Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U this past week. I played it with my fiance, and we got through... beating Bowser and then through one of the bonus worlds, and now there's a bonus section where you replay levels in the game on a very fast, they give you no time, but they give you time pickups throughout the level. And it's almost kind of like a Lost Levels style difficulty because all the Goombas have changed to spiky guys.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff, so, and it's very difficult, so we decided that we were okay with just beating the game, and
yeah.
We'll just kind of let that one sit for a while. I'm not gonna 100% that at all. I don't feel the need to. So, just did that one, and then I did just start. I'm going to start playing a new game called Conker's Bad Fur Day, which is an old Nintendo 64 game from Rare. Back when Rare was the biggest, gaming company on the N64. They made probably 50% of the games from my memory. I don't know, man, they were huge. But yeah, it's kind of like an adult themed game. Back on the N64, came out in 2000 or something, and it's got swearing and lots of bodily function poo jokes and sexual content involving a squirrel. So
sounds like my type of game.
Yeah, so it's a pretty rare and expensive game, but I just got it off of a friend of mine and for a pretty good price. So I figured now that I've got it, I should probably play it. So yeah, that's what I've been doing on my system. I don't really think there's much else that I've done. I mean, Smash once in a while, but yeah.
Are you putting these towards your 52 game challenge still?
Every single game I get, I complete, I beat a boss in, or if it's a super long game or a game without end, I should say Minecraft or something, I'll kind of say that 10 hours logged is good enough. So, but I haven't really, I'm probably not going to pick any games like that because I want to complete them so I get a whole picture of a game when I write about it. But yeah.
So what game are you on now? Number?
I think I am now on game 7. Conker's Bad Fur Day would be game 7. So I'm slightly ahead of the curve. Because I should be at 5 games right now after this last week.
Good, cool.
So, yeah, hopefully I'll beat that one this week. All right, so we'll go ahead and move into our topics here. We've got, big one, in my opinion. I was very excited to hear about this. I actually heard about it from a friend on Facebook and then got super excited. I guess they're going to be producing a live-action Legend of Zelda movie, I believe is what it's going to be, on Netflix, or...
I think it's a TV series.
A TV series.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd be much more excited for a movie.
Yeah. So, it's going to be on Netflix, which I'm very... I feel confident in, because I love the Netflix original stuff. A lot of their... Except for the rest of development. That one was kind of lame, in my opinion.
Then have you ever seen Hemlock Grove?
No, I want to. But no.
Okay.
Lilyhammer and stuff like that, good. Haven't really done the House of Cards thing. But I'm excited. I think Netflix knows what they're doing for the most part when it comes to their own production. But I don't know. Joel, you've done Legend of Zelda before, yeah? Played?
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts? Are you excited, terrified, just because of the Super Mario Brothers
history?
I'm very
cynical.
Okay.
I think it's going to suck. And I'd rather see, I've mentioned before, an animated movie. I think it would be way cooler.
Yeah.
Japanimation.
Agreed.
Preferably. Studio but, Ghibli. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good. No. But I might give it a try eventually.
Who do you think should be cast as Link?
Elijah Wood, get him back in the pointy ears.
See, no I was thinking, way. I was on the same. I'm thinking Orlando Bloom because he's so womanly looking, and he already plays a good elf. And basically, Link kind of looks like an elf anyway. So, but yeah, characters that have like girlish figures in some regards, but features, you know,
they should have him not have any dialogue, just like the games,
which would be perfect because I hate Orlando Bloom as an actor for the most part. But I think he would fit that pretty well. I was actually thinking a good person to play Navi would be Gilbert Godfrey because it's so noxious, like, hey, it's like just yelling at you.
You gotta get the Triforce, man. Ganon's gonna destroy Hyrule.
You're just have to listen to that for like five seasons in a row. Just go.
I think you managed to make Navi more annoying.
Somehow. I know, that's right. I thought it would be perfect. Ladies, I know you've had your experience with Legend of Zelda, particularly Lessa thinking that Zelda was the guy for a while. But with that embarrassment aside, what do you think? Do you think this is something to get excited about? You're just gonna wait to? Are you even gonna watch it? I guess.
I mean, like Joel, I might eventually stick my fingers into it when it comes about, if the rumors are true. But, I mean, I think, honestly, it's going to be interesting to see how they attack such a widely and already popular game without, like, screwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I'm iffy.
I think I'd watch it if they got at least a guy that's above the age of, like, if he's not, like, a little kid, because I swear if they, like, hit a little kid to play Link, I'm going to be like, oh my god, no way. But if they get, like, a man and, like, just shrink him down, kind of like how they do for Lord of the Rings, where the hobbits are smaller than the other characters, they do that really well. If they do that kind of thing, and it's a really attractive guy that can pull off tights, I may be in for the first episode.
I gotta say, I don't think they need to do the kid Link. They could always just do, like, a late adolescent or even young adult Link. I mean, it's... Like his timeline is infinite, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, mostly he's a younger Link, but to start. But, I mean, they could always go older at that point.
Christian Bale as Link.
I know, right?
Where's Zelda?
I actually think, you know, honestly, they could go the whole Peter Pan route and cast a woman as Link.
No. No women. I think
that's how you would best match the appearance, though.
It would. I think it would best match the appearance.
Reen, you know, all our friends at school, university, they say that those who work at Disney,
Tinkerbell
is actually, or not Tinkerbell, Peter Pan is actually a guy, but Tinkerbell is the guy, Tinkerbell, damn it, is the guy, but Peter Pan is the girl. You don't remember?
I remember
that.
We got there.
I know originally that Peter Pan, when it was on stage, in the original production, it was a female that played Peter Pan, because... You know, it matched the boyish looks because he was supposed to be forever young, you know, which is kind of the idea of Link.
Forever young, I will want to be forever young. Thank you.
There you go. Hey, there's our musical moment of the podcast. I don't know. I'd be kind of. I'm still excited. I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff, especially for series that I've loved for so long. And you know, I'm still optimistic. I'm probably a fool.
Yeah, I feel like it'd kind of have the same reaction as, like, for those Once Upon a Time. Is that, like, that TV series where all the fairy tales come to life?
Yeah.
They took Elsa from Frozen and threw her in there. So, like, I never read the reviews on how the fans took it, but, like, it probably
would
be a reaction like that. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think people are going to be... Gamers are probably the most critical of all... like media populations out there, I would say. I mean, movie critics are pretty critical, but I think gamers are very hard to please no matter what, especially when you take something so beloved and put it in a different form. So I have a feeling this might bomb just because it's not perfect.
Probably, yeah.
But it might still get like good reviews from people that aren't like, you know, Uber Zelda lore nerds, you know, and it's like, that's wrong, that doesn't fit, he would never, blah, 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 he just doesn't get the Master Sword, he has to earn it, and it's like, all right, Jesus, like, we get it, but, so, it's like, it's not Ganondorf, it's Ganon, he's the demon, and so, that would, I'm just saying that because that's going to be me, so.
It's easy to be a gamer Hitler.
It kind of is, it's, you know, that's just most of, you know, what makes us a special group of people is that we just are so harsh.
We're grumpy.
We are very grumpy. So,
yeah, I think, what was I going to say? Yeah, it looks like just a generic, like, fantasy show, and they just slapped Legend of Zelda on it based on, like, the still images I've seen from it so far. I don't think it's going to have much to do with the actual Legend of Zelda series, kind of like the Final Fantasy movie we talked about last time. But I'd rather see him do, like, recreate the Zelda CDI cutscenes and, like, turn that into a fully fleshed out series. That would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
I just wonder what Ganon's up to.
Oh, my
it's like
God.
A half hour of that.
Just on a loop.
My boy.
Of course. I just had a feeling you would bring that up.
I had to.
Because I had a premonition. I saw, like, a still of that. Like earlier today, and I was like, I have a feeling Joel's going to talk about that today. I just knew it. So, of course. Okay, so I guess we'll wait and see. We'll kind of keep an eye. I'll be keeping a close eye on it for sure. So, we'll talk about it once it comes out. Maybe I'll give you guys a review if you're all kind of afraid to watch it or just don't really give a shit. So,
well, did they have a release date set already or more information?
I don't think there's
not that I heard
date.
Of.
Yeah,
I think I know it's for sure happening, but I don't know the
date. I'm sure. I mean, they haven't really released even who's cast yet, so I don't think that we have anything to go on just yet. But I'll keep you guys up to date if you want. No problems. Huh. All right, so the next thing we'll talk about, we'll stick with the world of Nintendo. This new thing came out recently from Nintendo, believe it or not. You know, the world's arguably greatest game company. We all know that there are people out there, millions of people, streaming things on Twitch, and Hitbox, and also they're on YouTube, you know, putting Let's Plays and all sorts of material out there that is technically copyrighted material. And if you're going to earn revenue from something on YouTube, typically it has to be original content. And for the most part, if you put in something copyrighted, the company that owns that can absorb the revenue that you get from the views to your YouTube channel, your video, whatever it may be. Well, recently Nintendo started this thing called Nintendo Creators Program, which is for YouTube users that use Nintendo copyrighted material to create content on YouTube to actually earn some of that revenue that normally just went all to Nintendo. I looked it up. It looks like they can get upwards of 70% revenue, according to what I think was correct there. I kind of read it the other way, and it should be 30%, but either way. There is already like a long list of games that are included on what is called the whitelist. A lot of games from present day, like Wii U games, all the way down to NES games. Now, given the vast library of Nintendo over the last, you know, 20-something years, it's really not that long of a list compared, but they have a lot of big names on there, like your Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario World, all the way up to some big titles on the Wii U, although Super Smash Bros. Is missing. I didn't note that, but I just kind of want to get, you know, some thoughts out here. I know Joel, you know, we talked last time about Twitch and everything with their copyrighted material and music. Is this something that you see being a positive for gaming? Is it something that companies should be doing to encourage people to create this content?
It's nice of them. I don't think, like, just as long as you're not like going around being a Nazi about it, like removing anything with your licensed material in it, then I'm cool with that. But yeah, it's like it's a little bit above and beyond to me to like allow the channel, the whoever owns the channel, to profit from it. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I wouldn't expect many more companies to follow suit, I don't think.
No. Well, Nintendo's always been sort of the, you know, at the forefront of gaming innovation.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I mean, years ago they were innovating things like sort of like motion capture gaming in a way with their, you know, their track and field pads and stuff like that. That, you know, down the line, you know, they had the Wii, which was huge in giving us things like the PlayStation Move and the Kinect in the future. So who knows? I mean, maybe companies will see this as, if it's successful, as a way to encourage more of this to happen. Because I think maybe some people may not be doing it because they don't get as much money out of it as they thought when they start this up. So maybe this will encourage more. and other companies will see the light.
But, yeah, for me it's just, like, if someone's using the material in a creative way, I think it'd just be, like, cool if that, whoever owns the material, mm-hmm. just, like, lets it be. But, yeah, this is cool that they're even allowing them to cash in on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be a good idea, especially for other companies to look at, because it would probably give fans of certain series good original material. Like, for instance, I'm sure there are some people out there that would really like to see some sort of, like, live action, like, sort of, like, YouTube movie about, I don't know, like, maybe Resident Evil, and have some characters, you know, maybe some male characters have some sort of, like, relationship. I don't know. I mean, I'm spitballing here, just off the top of my head. I don't know. Reen, Lessa, is that, can you think of anything that maybe would be interesting to see with original content? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. Like, because technically in the world, nothing is original anymore, but
Simpsons did it.
Yeah. but I don't know, like, I like the idea of the Nintendo's Creators Program. Like, does that count if someone did, like, a little, an animation and then submit it and it got, like, 1 million views and I guess the revenue would go to them and the creators or something like that?
I think it has, yeah, I think so. It has to be, like, original content. And I didn't really read too much into what original creations or content actually meant. So I don't know if this fits into, like, here's a Let's Play. And you have, like, my face playing the game and you just see me react to scares in games. Or if it has to be original stuff, like, say, the Super Smash Bros. Live action things you've seen people do, where, like, someone is dressed up as Peach and, like, they fight, someone dressed as the villager, and, you know, it's completely separate from the game footage, but it's still based on Nintendo licensed characters, so copyrighted material technically. So I don't know exactly what constitutes an actual original creation in this one. I'm assuming it doesn't count for things like just streaming a soundtrack on there, which a ton of people do anyway. And they're constantly saying in their notes or whatever, like, the information says, I do not own this material. It's copyrighted by, you know, Nintendo and Squeenix. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think that they're probably already hitting snags. I didn't read, you know, too much into them, but I think they're already hitting some snags with the program about...
Yeah, I think I saw an article on that. I didn't read it, but I know that they're hitting problems already.
Yeah, I just saw it, like, right before we started recording, so I didn't have enough time to look into it. But, yeah, I just thought it was pretty interesting to note, because I believe it's one of the first things of its kind in the gaming world, since a lot of people have been mostly using Twitch and things like that to gain revenue from game streaming from subscribers and things along those lines. But YouTube always has kind of been really murky waters for me to think of, because I'm like, how do you even earn revenue from YouTube? Like, you probably have to have, like, millions of hits before you even start making any money.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think, though, with when it says original creation, I think if you do, like, your own animation or, like, film a live-action thing, I think it's, like, your own, like, separate... like, work, and it doesn't fall under Nintendo's copyright in that case.
Okay.
I think, because I know, like, animators have done, like, Mario and Zelda parodies, and I'm pretty sure they get all of the ad revenue from that.
Okay.
So I'm picturing more of, like, review videos, if you do, like a JonTron or something like that, where you do, like, a, like, kind of review show and include footage of the game and stuff like that. That's what I think. I think that's who's going to benefit more.
Yeah, that's
from
a good
it.
Point. I didn't think about, like, reviews or, you know, even, like, you know, maybe just, like, head-to-head contests or something like that. Like, some people doing, like, bets on YouTube and filming, you know, some things I've seen. Like, people, like, lay down a bet on a game or something like that and do that, so.
Speed runs, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah, that would be good. I mean, because it's original content, especially, like, you know, the dude doing the, well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... Yeah. I just thought it would be interesting to talk about another thing to kind of keep an eye on and see how it does and see if Nintendo has a flop on their hands that they've had before, admittedly, but or if they've got something really innovative here that will change the face of, you know, YouTube, gaming, revenue, whatever. So it's a lot to dive in there, but it's pretty new, so I'm sure there's a lot that they're going to be changing in the near future.
I think it's their best idea since the Virtual Boy.
Ah, yes. Okay. That very was good. Power Glove? Or maybe a little, you know, you think the Virtual Boy was better than Power Glove?
Yeah, best console.
Oh, okay. Well, of course.
They only made like 13 games for it, but you know, quality over quantity. Man,
Mario Tennis was really good though. So, I still have, you know, minor seizures from playing.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So we'll go ahead and Joel's got a little something to talk to us in the speed running world.
Yeah,
from time
segue.
To time, he likes to kind of keep up with these things. So go ahead, Joel. Tell us about this crazy speed run thing that happened earlier.
Yeah, some of you may have seen this already. A guy was trying to replicate a tool-assisted trick on Super Mario World to, quote, beat the game in a manner of speaking. It basically warps to the credits, so it's debatable whether or not it, like, officially counts as beating the game. Mm-hmm. But what tool-assisted means is you use an emulator and you use tools within that emulator to kind of manipulate the game to your liking. So, like, you can advance one frame at a time and, like, carefully decide your input for each frame. You can restart at a certain point within the run. If you don't get, like, a certain random event doesn't go your way, you can just jump back to that point and keep doing it until you get what you want, or if you mess up or whatever. So it's like, they call it rewrites, I think, or re-records, if you go jump back to a certain point.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's basically how you do a tool-assisted run. So someone tool-assisting Super Mario World figured out a way to make Mario and Yoshi do, like, a very specific set of actions and, like, place enemies in very specific points and, like, go through pipes and all this stuff on, I think it's just the first level. And he, like, jumped to the end of the credits, or the halfway through the credits, if he did it successfully. So this guy was trying to actually replicate it on a console, and it took him about 150 tries-ish, but he finally managed to do it a couple weeks ago and jumped to the credits in about, I think it was 6 minutes, the first successful run. He's gotten it down under 5, I believe, now. So it's pretty impressive to see a human basically do the super precise, really long set of actions that basically it was thought that only a computer could do it, and to watch a person do it on just a regular console is pretty cool.
So he does hold a world record now for console for Super Mario World because of this?
Yes, okay. I believe so. Okay. I think he actually figured out a way to do it faster than the tool-assisted run, I believe. He figured out some shortcut within the shortcut. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's cool to watch. There's debates within the speedrun community if that counts as being the game. Is that a real speedrun? Some people think it should have its own category, like credits warp, instead of actually, you know, clearing the game.
Right, right. Because you don't actually beat a boss. You just
mess around. First level, do a bunch of random crap. Yeah.
Right, it's like fast forwarding through a movie until you get to the credits.
Yeah. Some people who have a more negative viewpoint on it, even compared to just like entering a password.
That'd be me.
Okay. But yeah, but it'd be like if the password required, you know, like 200 very precise, perfectly timed.
I don't like either option, entering a password or using this. But yeah, so
I would call them shortcuts.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's not a shortcut, in my opinion, and because the game already has shortcuts in it. Like, there are certain exploits that are considered shortcuts. Even in the Super Mario Brothers games, like Super Mario Brothers 3, for instance, there are warp pipes and whistles, and those are shortcuts, right? And, like, for instance, there are certain runs that if you use a whistle or a warp pipe, there are different categories of speed run.
Right.
You have to either play it with the shortcuts, or you can play a run without the shortcuts, and I'm sure there's different, you know, varying degrees of whether you actually fit into beating that category or the game in one category or another.
Yeah, basically, like, 100% run would be, like, beating every level, not using any warps. Any percent is basically, like, using any warps you want, although people are arguing that this is, like, even a step beyond any percent. This is, like, have its own category, some people think.
So, I don't know. I know Joel's take on it. You know, he knows mine. I don't think this is beating a game. I think it's a cheat, which is fine if you want to cheat, but I don't think it... I think it's impressive. I'm not taking away from it. This guy does something to this game that I thought was very impressive, and I'm like, kudos to you. But unless it does come up with, like, a separate category and there's enough out there to do this, and it has to be done, like, via person, using a tool assist is like uber cheating on that regard, in my opinion, if you're going to use an exploit like this to, like, rewrite the code and get a credit. This guy takes it to a level where I think is acceptable enough if enough games you can figure out how to do this, you know, in a lot of other platforms or something.
Yeah, we saw the Super Mario 3 one live at AGDQ, which was also very impressive.
Yep. So maybe there is room for that, which is fine, but I'm still, you know, I'm an old school kind of guy. I think that beating a game means you start at the start and you get to the end, you beat the bad guy and you save the world, or you get the girl or whatever. So I don't know, girls, is there, what do you think? Are you on, which side are you on this one? Do you think it counts as beating the game or it's just a cheat?
I think it's, like how you said, impressive. Like, in the aspect that when you play the game, if you get the, if you manage to pull off the trick, it'll take you to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like, I know I said shortcut, but I kind of feel like, no, everyone doesn't like that word shortcut, and I got screamed at.
No, it's just, I think that just because of that game itself, there are already built-in shortcuts in many regards that I don't, you know, it would kind of be, I think that would put the, what this guy did in a false light, because it's, I think it's completely separate from an actual shortcut.
Breaking the game.
Right, he's actually,
it's not a design shortcut.
Yeah, he's rewriting the game to actually tell, he's telling the game's over when it's not over, which is completely different than a shortcut.
Basically.
Yeah. So, okay. I was just trying to make sure that we were separating the apples from the oranges on that one.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Tim, but I see it more like a wormhole where it's not really supposed to be there and it's just there, and then you can use it to, I mean, if you want my honesty, I think it's cheating, mm-hmm. but I mean, if you have the patience and skill to do that right and so many times and be very, very precise about it, then I mean, like, kudos, but
yeah,
I don't know. It just takes away from the game. Like you said, you beat it, you spend like an odd number of hours from start to finish, and then you feel that satisfaction. I mean, I bet there's satisfaction too if you pull off the trick right, but I think it's different, like cheating.
I think it's just because he's not beating the game in a way that was intended. And even though I've seen Joel speedrun Super Mario 64, where he does do shortcuts and beats the game with what, 17 stars.
Yes.
As opposed to what's the minimum to beat the game in a full playthrough?
Oh, full is 70.
70. So he's like 53 stars short, but still beats the game. He still at least has to face Bowser, throw him into some bombs, and then gets a cake at the end from Peach. So it's like he gets that. He earned it by beating a boss. So I just feel like the game wasn't intended to be rewritten that way. It was just something we found out, or he found out, by being a very smart guy. I mean, let's be honest, that takes intelligence and dedication, because it was 150-something or whatever attempts.
Yeah, at least, I think.
So, yeah, I don't want to take anything away from him, but, you know, but then again, what do I know? I'm not, like, I don't follow speedrunning as much as Joel does, and I have a feeling that in some time, the speedrunning community will probably accept this a little more, and you know, there'll be more of this coming out, especially once we get more, you know, AGDQs and, you know, SGDQs coming out with people doing this more and more with and without tool assist.
It may become its own category, yeah.
Which, you know, I think would be fine. I'd be fine because I watched that video and I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's very entertaining, especially for games that I've played time and again and beaten. And I'm like, wow, that's, I mean, it's cool to see. But,
Yeah. I think I would want the majority of the runs, like at AGDQ, for example, to be a, like, quote, normal run where you're actually playing through, you know, maybe probably not the entire game, but at least, you know, like an actual run where you're doing, like, a lot of cool tricks and it takes time and you're, you know, beating it by definition.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like, a couple of these human tool assisted runs here and there, I think.
Yeah.
Just occasionally.
Because they're kind of like sideshows. You know?
Right.
Like, exactly. When they do it, they're like, okay, now I'm going to beat it really quickly. You know, once they do it, or they do it beforehand and say, okay, before I do the run, I just want to show something neat.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, too many of those would be like, defeat the purpose.
Yeah, there'd be like a list of like 700 games then.
Right.
Because everyone would beat them within like 10, 15 minutes.
Becomes less impressive.
Right. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe when Summer Games Done Quickly comes about, we'll see if any more come up. Because I'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. Thanks to you. You've ruined my life.
You're welcome.
All right. So I wanted to talk about something a little bit, I don't know, quirky, funny, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to call it. It's talking about gaming tattoos. So I saw this article about, you know, people getting lots of gaming tattoos. And, you know, throughout the history, I think they just came out with this mummified Italian from, like, I don't know how long ago. But it had, like, 60-something tattoos on his body from centuries ago. Okay? And it's pretty interesting because we kind of think, I think a lot of people believe that tattooing has become part of, like, popular culture and everything in the last century or so worth of time. Whereas cultures have probably been tattooing for millennia, you know, maybe just centuries, I don't know. But it just kind of brought up the idea of, like, you know, in the future when people somehow, if we mummify ourselves or embalm ourselves, and they find us and we have, like, gaming tattoos, what will they think of our culture? So I was thinking, like, I don't really think I would ever get a tattoo, ever, of anything. But I was kind of curious to know, and I'll chime in as well. If you were to get a gaming tattoo, what would it be? You don't have to tell me where it would be if you don't want to. Joel's ass. But yeah,
Triforce on my butt.
There you go. Yep. Bullet Bill on one. And yeah, I just was kind of curious. If you had to get a gaming tattoo, what would it be?
That's a good question.
It is. What would yours be, Tim?
Well, you know, I have such love for a lot of games, but I have claimed time and again that my favorite game of all time is Earthbound. So I think I would have to get some sort of Earthbound tattoo. I'm between getting a Ness tattoo with him with, like, his famous bat. Probably would get that on my calf. I would probably put that there. Or maybe, like, a Mr. Saturn. And then above it would say Boeing or Zoom. Or maybe just, like, a Starman, which is one of the enemies in the game. He's, like, this silvery being that doesn't really have eyes or anything, and he's, like, in, like, a pose with his elbows akimbo and his fists on his hips sort of thing. But, yeah, probably something Earthbound, really. I'd probably say, like, Ness would probably be my first choice, then Mr. Saturn. But, yeah, nothing too crazy. Nothing too, I don't know, maybe people think that's crazy because it's, like, an animated, you know, 12-year-old boy on my calf, which is a little weird, but I don't know. I got this in prison. I don't know, Joel, have you thought about what you would get?
I would get Luigi's face.
Here we go.
On my face.
But, oh, my,
like,
God.
Off-center by, like, a half an inch.
Luigi death stare, yeah. Face, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, like, if I'm looking over here, it looks like it's looking at you.
Oh, Jesus, that's terrifying.
I'd get so many. I could, you know, wouldn't hurt my chances
what
in job interviews or
anything. What
are
you doing over there? I'm looking at you. Yeah. Oh, my God. I knew Joel was going to come up with something ridiculous. He's just sitting there like, something Luigi. Where would I put Luigi on my body? All over the place. Ladies, what do you got?
I don't know. If I had to choose, I would say the umbrella symbol from Resident Evil. No surprise there.
That's weird. Do you guys play that game?
Actually, if you really want to know. I mean, but if I had to diversify from the world of Resident Evil.
You don't have to, but go ahead.
Maybe a Mario level up mushroom on my wrist, or like how Joel said, the Triforce symbol, or I don't know, like Cloud Sword on my leg from Final Fantasy. I'm
That'd
just throwing
cool.
things
Why
out.
Why not? Oh, Metal Gear Solid exclamation mark right down the middle of your back.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Nice. That would be pretty interesting. Yeah, or maybe just, yeah, I like the wrist idea would be pretty cool. Not for I don't know if guys get do guys get wrist tattoos
oh,
or is that kind of more of a lady
Bioshock.
Thing? Like,
yeah, yeah.
There was
Bioshock.
The guy
there
had
one in your class, Reen, who had Bioshock the chain tattoos on his wrist. That was cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
I like those idea like the mushroom and the Triforce tattoos would be pretty cool. That'd be pretty awesome. A Triforce wouldn't be too bad either.
Yeah.
I think.
A Triforce right over the heart.
I was thinking of putting it, like, right on my chest. Like, Triforce and then, like,
yeah.
Right down there. Yeah. Wait, what?
What?
Did you say on the forehead?
Yes.
Oh, God.
There's actually this one girl
I think you're
in
a cult.
Animation course at school who has a tattoo on the side of her face.
Oh, jeez. Face tattoos are never a good idea. Although, Triforce tear tattoos would be pretty awesome. Yeah, I killed a guy in Hyrule years ago. Don't worry about it.
The single tear I shed for him.
Yep. Or you could do like some like old school with like a peach mermaid on one arm or whatever, and then like the like a ship on the other, but it would be the Wind Waker sailing ship with a little Toon Link popping out looking all badass with an eye patch. So
I'd get pow blocks on my biceps.
There you go.
Flex for the ladies. And be like,
what about a walker from The Walking Dead tattooed on your arm? Like, I got bitten by a walker bite. Someone tattoo a walker bite on your arm. I'm forever bitten by a walker.
Oh, like you have a zombie infection.
Make people think you're about to turn into a zombie.
I think people would do that. I think people already do that. I would not be surprised if people have like zombie bites on their arms or on their legs or something already. Because I think one of the coolest things I see, sort of off topic, is every Halloween, those people that do like their faces, they paint where it looks like their mouth is extended even further, or even more so, they have like their mouth, their flesh is eaten away so you can see their teeth, but it's not, it's just their skin. It looks super awesome.
Yeah, those are impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend getting that as a tattoo. That would be, you'd terrify everybody. So, okay, well, I just thought that'd be pretty interesting to hear what everyone say. So, yeah, I think the most terrifying one was the Luigi on the side of Joel's head, off-center.
Just slightly off-center.
Just slightly off-center. Oh, my God. Creepy. Maybe get, you know, I was thinking maybe just get, like, a Toad as a tramp stamp, maybe. That, you know? I don't know. That's kind of like Team Cute Buddies, perhaps.
Yeah.
On there. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on to our final topic of the evening. This one comes to us from Lessa, which I did see the story, actually, and it slipped through the cracks, so I appreciate you finding it and putting it up here. They were just talking recently that a 90s Zelda comic, a Legend of Zelda comic from the 90s, is it's getting a re-release. And, you know, the story itself is interesting because apparently it's kind of a rare comic to come across, probably in good condition. I don't really know how many were made of it, but it's getting a re-release, a reboot, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, sort of thinking in that line, I know that a lot of games these days are already comics or are eventually made into comic series, but if you can think of one that hasn't been, or maybe like an older one that never got the chance, kind of curious to know what game series would you like to see as a comic? I'm not a huge comic reader myself, so this one was a little tough for me, but if you could just like run up to your nearest comic book store and grab, you know, a series from this game, what would it be? I don't know. Well, since Lessa, you started us out here, did you have anything in mind when you brought this up?
I mean, well, since I've been looking into RPGs this week, it first started when Rena and I reserved Resident Evil Revelations 2 last week at GameStop, and then someone told me if I like RPG games, I'd like Shining X or like Shining Force or that series. Mm-hmm. So I did a little bit of backtracking to see when it started, and I think the first game was like in the early 1990s, I think, 1992 maybe. So I mean, I think it'd be interesting. I saw some art online, and I could see it a comic. Like, I mean, but mm-hmm. Japanese artwork, not really American artwork.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
If I had a preference. But, yeah.
I mean, just playing into, because everyone knows, Resident Evil actually has a comic series.
I figured they would.
It's manhwa, I think, which is a Korean, I think. Or maybe it's Japanese, but I know manhwa
is... actually two, Rin.
Oh, goddamn, really?
During the late 1990s, the first set is called the Resident Evil, the official comic magazine, which was published by Wildstorm, and then the second set was published under the title, what you were just saying, Resident Evil, the Marhawa Desire, and the Weak Shonen in Champion, Japan. And
okay, though I think I was actually reading, like, I'm not sure if I read it correctly, but either the artist for that will take the mods from the game and then trace them to make the comic look really good. Like,
okay.
I don't know how much, how true that is, but it just kind of makes my heart ache a little bit, because I was like, oh my god, Chris Redfield looks like Chris Redfield, now I know why. But he's still sexy, and I would still buy it. But, like, I know Lessa and I were talking earlier, where she said, like, a game I'd want to see as a comic, and I'm a huge Godzilla fan. I would love to see Godzilla drawn as, like, the character from, like, Uma Soldana, and you probably have no idea what that means, but
nope.
I will post a picture on Twitter, and I'll just say, imagine if this was Godzilla.
Okay.
Because I would like freak out. It's like little chibi and stuff. I'd be like, oh, you're so adorable. I'll post it later.
Because they do have Godzilla comics already. So you're just saying it would be done in a different style.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Joel, it looked like you You have something in your head?
I got something rolling around in there.
All right.
Okay, do you have Godzilla comics? Sorry, keep going.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I read this comic, or there was a Zelda comic at my elementary school, I think, at Miller.
Really?
I remember reading one. I'm pretty sure it was Legend of Zelda. I don't know if it was this exact one, but I'm pretty sure they had one there.
Interesting.
I want to say like fifth grade.
Like at the library there?
Or I think just it's like time in to the go classroom.
Revisit Miller.
Yeah, I need to go find this book.
Yep. Zelda so, book. Wait, you're in Michalik's class?
It was Weiss.
Weiss, okay. Because yeah. Michalik's been retired for years. Weiss is probably retired as well.
Probably.
Interesting. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. What was it based on, the Link to the Past? Like the.
I don't really remember.
Okay.
But, I'm pretty sure I read one there. So okay. I'm wondering if it's the same one.
Interesting. It very well could be. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, that was a little after that time, but schools tend to hold on to material for a while. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you thinking? What game would you want to see a comic?
Zelda's one of the best ones to do, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's been a Mario one at some point.
I'm sure I would be shocked if there wasn't.
Yeah. So that's a decent one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not too big of a comic reader either, so yeah. I'm not sure what. Yeah, like Resident Evil would be decent.
Mm-hmm.
Like other survival horror games, Half-Life maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that while you guys were talking, that would be a pretty interesting one, I think.
I could see it by reading. Oh, who's that comic artist in Japan for Muhyo and Roji?
Oh, it's on the shelf. I'd have to run and grab it.
It's okay, forget it. But yeah, with that style, you know what I'm talking about, Reen? How it would really, really fit Fatal Frame, because that one part,
really,
the one chapter.
Her hand.
Uh-huh, that one was scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, trying to think of like some good, because like nowadays a lot of games that come out, you know, probably in the last 10 years or so have had a comic series, something at one point, like Mass Effect has been huge as one, and even some other series like your Resistance series, like that, they've had comics. So I was trying to think older games that maybe didn't have the chance to have a comic.
I think Final Fantasy doesn't have the chance yet. I know there was supposed to be a release comic in 1992, but I don't think it ever came to be.
Yeah, I don't think that there is. I can't remember. I don't believe there is Final Fantasy comics, which, you know, that would be interesting, but I have a feeling that because Final Fantasy has, like, only, like, each game has its own, like, set of characters, and there's really no connection between each game, they'd probably come up with, like, sort of like a Spirits Within thing, where they'd have their own, like, world in that. I think it would be cool to do, like, a comic based on the Final Fantasy VII world, based mm-hmm. on what happens between the end of the first game and the Advent Children series.
As long as it has Cloud or Sephiroth, I'm A-okay.
I'd like to know what happens between then, yeah, or even more so, what happens after the events of Advent Children. I think mm-hmm. that would be better. But honestly, I was thinking, and this is probably just, this is more likely based on me getting this game recently from a friend of mine, but I really liked playing the Banjo-Kazooie series. When I was growing up, I played both Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, and I think those would make pretty good comics, sort of like a goofy, quirky comic with, like, this bear and his bird friend that lives in his backpack, and, you know, like, a voodoo witch doctor and a witch and all this other stuff. I think it'd be pretty cool for, like, more of, like, a kid's comic. And at the same time, or around the same time that those games were out, there was a series called Jak and Daxter, which I don't know if you guys have ever played that or heard of it, but it was on the PS2.
Wow.
It was basically this... He's kind of like a pointy-eared hero with his, like, kind of furry
stoic,
weasel.
Quiet guy and a...
Yeah. His
talking,
loudmouth.
Talking, obnoxious sidekick.
Exactly.
Sound familiar?
Does sound familiar. Like, been done everywhere. but, yeah, it was not voiced by Gilbert Gottfried, but...
Thank God.
Yeah, that series had three games in it, and it kind of got darker and more, you know, broodier, I don't know, as the series went on, and I think it would tie in pretty well to like a more adult themed comic series, because I think there was some gritty elements to that series as it got along, you know, in its lifespan on the PS2. So I think those would make some pretty good comics. But yeah, the Final Fantasy point you bring up would be pretty interesting, but only if they did it with a series that already exists. not one that they just create out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, Resident Evil, Final Fantasy. Joel, you said what? I can't remember.
I didn't really offer any suggestions. I said Zelda is good. I just agreed that a Zelda comic
lame.
Is good.
All right, so Joel's just on the Zelda train.
Yeah.
Lame. But Fatal Frame, you would read that?
That would be cool, yes.
Yeah? That would be cool. I wonder, do you think... You guys have played Rule of Rose, right? Did you play
that? A little bit of it, yeah.
Would that be too weird of a premise for a comic series? It sounds kind of weird and creepy. Like,
I think that might turn into like a really disturbing themed comic with possible porn.
Yeah, and it's like children. That's, yeah, okay. Probably not a good idea. I was curious, because I think some horror genre would lead well into a comic series. You know, like
Clock Walking... Tower would be cool.
Yeah, I
yeah.
would do that.
Mm-hmm. Bioshock? Did they do a Bioshock comic?
I don't know.
Huh. I'm going to look real quick, because that one would be a really good comic.
I don't know. That would be interesting.
I don't know if they had... Oh, maybe. I'm not sure. I have to look a little further into it. But, so there you go. Thank you for listening, gamers, to us ramble on about, I don't know, tattoos, comics, tool-assisted stuff, whatever. I'm sure you enjoyed it as much as we love talking about it. If you want to check us out outside of our recordings, you can do that at Podomatic. You can check us out there. Follow us, subscribe. That way you get the latest podcasts every week or every couple weeks if there's a Super Bowl happening. We're also on iTunes. You can also check us out on Stitcher. And if you just want to tweet at us, see what's going on, you can go ahead and check us out on Twitter. We are at @ASG_podcast on Twitter. And just hit up any of our hosts here. I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from you, especially if you like the podcast. And if you don't like the podcast, tweet at Joel C. Slack and let him know, because he is the...
I am in, head of the complaint department.
Exactly,
you want to complain that I can't pronounce words, you send me a tweet.
He's the suggestion box, which I've heard the suggestion box is essentially over a shredder, so sorry about that. But
send you a picture of a kitten.
There you go. No, he's just kidding. He won't do that. He's no. But anyway, that's our show for this week. Thank you to my amazing co-host for being here again this week. I really appreciate it, especially since The Walking Dead is kicking off again this Sunday. I know Reena and Lessa have big plans.
Right, we're actually doing Ask TWD right now, like on Twitter.
Well, I think it's time to get going. So I'll go ahead and just sign off, so you girls, and get out of here. So, as always, gamers listening around the world, game on. This has been All Systems Go.
Intro music provided by Wonderflux, and outro provided by Labyrinth. You can find more information about All Systems Go at asgpodcast.podomatic.com or follow us on Twitter at @ASG_podcast.